Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of the PVD Cast. I'm your host, of course, John Orlando, and the man that's joining me here tonight is a man that goes way back with yours truly, a man that is well known to many wrestling fans here in the state of Ohio. Ladies and gentlemen, my guest today, the hot commodity, Matt Mason. Matt, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you, John?
Doing well. I guess we're just going to go ahead and just get it out of the way.
All right, let's just... As you look at my propped up brace, my robotic brace on my leg.
Well, for those that don't know, you are currently suffering from an injury to your ACL.
Yes, I am. It's completely ruptured. Well, actually, now it's repaired. I'm just healing from a recent surgery this past Thursday.
Okay.
But, yeah.
Well, can you take us through the story that you told me about how you knew that you got hurt? And it's actually a fascinating story, because I'll be the first to tell you, I've never had any knee injuries. I cannot fathom. This story is amazing, because I can just not fathom how you managed to delay? Is that the right word?
I don't know.
The surgery?
I'm superhuman or stupid, probably. No, it happened. I don't know. Do you want to go through, like, the details of exactly?
Sure, well, sure.
It was just a real freaky thing. It occurred at the very end of a match I had with Robbie Starr in Coshocton, right at the pinnacle of the match, 1, 2, 3, as I'm getting up off him, from the three count, I just felt, I had all my weight on my left leg, there was tacks scattered everywhere, and I didn't really want to fall in those, so it just kind of popped up real quick to celebrate, and I felt two, quick pops in the back of my knee, and it didn't feel great, but it definitely didn't feel like an ACL tear. I didn't, wasn't crying in pain, as everybody speaks of, or when that happens, but... So, yeah, I kind of limped to the back. I even got up on the second rope, celebrated, you know, for the fans. I went to the back, asked everybody, and everybody's like, oh, you probably hyperextended it. There's no way you actually tore it. So just elevated it, iced it, went for a few weeks, wrestled another match with Trevor Court, had a really good match with Trevor, but it just wasn't feeling 100%. It just would get to, like, 80 and just wouldn't get any better. So I went to my doctor. This is the week of the DBI. I went to my doctor and just kind of get clearance before I did two shows that Friday night, and he's like, basically on everything I see, everything you're telling me you're doing, I don't think it's torn, you know, without an MRI I can't tell, you're cleared to do whatever. So I get up to the DBI, I'm feeling great, you know, all the guys are up there, it's just a great show, and I went to test it out, and it completely buckled on me, just doing a standard up and over, kind of a warm-up spot that I normally do before shows, and I just sort of knew that was it. Got an MRI the next week, and it confirmed it was a full rupture, and yeah, fast forward to Thursday, not to bore everybody, and here we are. So, I'm on the road to recovery now.
And you go back to the doctor, what, this week?
Yes.
To find out?
Yeah, next Wednesday will be my follow-up, and that's at that point, that's when I'll start, you know, scheduling my rehab and what that all entails. Right now, it's been an adventure trying to get around my house with two toddlers. And then, not on top of that, the timing of it was good for my surgery, because I did it on Thursday over Memorial Day weekend. And my wife has an in-home daycare. So, yeah, today was like, I mean, I felt like I was on American Gladiators running through the gauntlet. I mean, there's like seven people, you know, all at calf height, you know, and I've got crutches. So, yeah, I've been assigned to the man cave during the week for sure. So, but, you know, it's one day at a time. We're getting there, man.
Actually, I feel honored that this is the first time you've been out of the house.
Yeah, it is. Like, it didn't even hit me. I opened the side door to get in your car. And I'm like, wow, I have not gone down these steps yet. And, like, every move I take is, like, you know, brand new baby learning how to walk. But
please, I want it duly noted that if anything goes sideways, it's not my fault. Please promise me that much.
I don't know what that means, but it will always be your fault. So, you know that, Johnny.
Well, anyways, how does this rank, how does it compare to the bicep? But the bicep was, what, 2 years ago? 3 years ago?
Two.
Two years ago.
I don't know how you... I don't know, like the
totally different, or were there some similarities? Or
I will say this: the bicep at the time was the worst injury that I had sustained. But the thing I kept telling myself the entire time through the suckiness of not having my arm was, well, at least it's not your leg. At least you can get around. And so, in that respect, it's worse. But on the flip side, you know, I've been through the surgical procedure. I've been through, you know, the painkillers and coming off of them and the rehab and all the things that. So at least I'm not going into it as blind, but it is a much worse injury. It's it's going to be a harder rehab. It's just going to be tough. I mean, I'm sitting here. I think the worst thing about an injury like this is muscle atrophy. If you're somebody like me that's so, like, health and body conscious all the time, just watching your muscles wither away is really tough to watch. But I watched my bicep. Here, I'll give you a little shower.
Nice.
Johnny likes me. No, I watched my bicep come back and get even better. So I'm kind of excited to see what I can do this leg after it shrinks up, if that makes any sense.
It does.
Probably not.
Well, because I know you, it makes sense.
Yeah.
And maybe some people listening are like, what?
Are you
a moron?
It's weird. Like, I'm not glad that I tore my ACL, but, like, you know, I always have to be going after something, even if it's something trivial to everyone else. Like, I just have to wake up every day, like, all right, this has to get done today so that I can get to this tomorrow, and I don't know. I just have to. So right now, that's what this knee is for me.
Okay, well, then, I guess the next topic, as we talked, and when I say we, Jeremy Madrox and myself, as we discussed on the last episode of the PVD cast, OCW's got a big show coming up, mm-hmm. End of an era. It is your quote-unquote retirement.
Yeah,
if you will.
I can't believe he's calling it that. That's insane to me. Like, it's still.
It is kind of. It sounds weird for me to say it. That's no bullshit. That's straight. It feels weird to say retirement.
For me, no. I was talking about the end of an era. Like,
really?
I'm really weird. Hopefully, I don't come off as too broken in this thing. But like, some people have mistaken me for having like a big ego or something like that, but then people that really get to know me know that, if anything, I'm, like, probably the harshest person myself than ever. So, to, like, consider me stepping away from something, the end of any era of anything, is just, like, it just blows my mind. I don't know, it's just a huge honor that he would call it that, but, man, a lot of pressure.
See, for me, I'm baffled by the whole, I don't know, retirement. I don't know, I just can't wrap my mind around it, because I think that I don't...
To quote the great Scotty Saber... It ain't retirement since there's no 401k waiting on you. You're just quitting, dude. So, yeah, retirement. I don't know if it's retirement. And it's wrestling, so you know how that
right.
goes. But, right. Yeah, I don't plan on coming back. I don't plan on just stepping away for a while. But that doesn't guarantee anything in wrestling. I don't know. This has been really hard, like, picturing what life will be without it all the time.
Sure.
You know,
sure.
Whether it's like thinking of my next promo, thinking of my next angle, thinking, you know, whatever.
Would you come back in a non-wrestling capacity?
Man, I've been blown away. I've had so many offers, like, already.
Really?
And yeah, again, me really think people would listen to me. I don't know. And I'm not trying to sound like, you know, Matty Humble over here for, you know, cool points. It's just I don't know. It just blows me away. But I think that for sure I would not even think about that until I get my leg.
Okay.
Right? Like, I just want to focus on that. I want to.
I'm going to bring up a personal conversation that we had one time.
All right.
Okay. Just aside from the knee, because I know that you said one time, when the day comes, I would like to be like the road agent,
mm-hmm.
if you will, the guy in the back that's pulling the young guys aside and going, "What you did was awesome. You need to tweak this, tweak that, et cetera, et cetera. Phenomenal stuff." Would that? So is that still something that you would be interested in doing?
Yeah, that's what I was going to get to. If there is a position for me that I'd be interested in, that's definitely the one, for sure. Like, I've had people say, you know, you should open up your own school. You can ask my wife. I am the last guy that can train someone from, like, start to finish. That's Jeff Cannon. Jeff Cannon, I've never seen anybody be able to break down wrestling in its simplest sense for people, you know, just, like, right off the street. I just don't have the patience for that. But I'm really good with tweaking things, like, how could I throw my drop kick better? How do you do your arm drags the way, you know what I mean? Things like that.
Right.
I guess specialization.
Yeah.
And I think that's a good spot for a road agent, you know, especially if you're like, okay, I want you to take care of these three matches, or you're with the women's division, or, you know what I mean?
Right. No, yeah.
So I would like to do that. But the first thing I want to do is I want to get away and miss it.
Understandable.
I have to do that. I have to give myself that chance to, I guess, sort of branch out into real life a little bit, you know. Before I knew that this injury was confirmed, like, I was really, like, the one bright side to not wrestling anymore that I had thought about, I was like, wow, you know, this would be the first summer in 15 years that I'm, like, I'm open. I got, I'm open. My schedule, I'm not booked. Like, because summer's crazy because, you know, county fairs, them folk love their wrestling. So
they do.
So we're
they
pretty, do. We're really busy, you know, and I'm talking right. like during the week and, right. you know, there's always another fair, festival, I don't know, right. like, tomato patch to wrestle in or right. something.
Yeah, so, those, yeah, definitely.
So,
definitely.
Yeah, so I'm excited for that stuff.
You Even know? Though I've always found it odd that summer is so busy mm-hmm. for indie wrestling, but yet gates are always down. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Oh man, I don't have any money. You know, to pay you guys or whatnot. No, I'm not mentioning any names. But I mean, we've been through that. Carousel before that
drives you nuts.
Yeah,
it really does. Especially when you start talking about those fair shows, because those are kind of they're brutal. There's good and bad, you know, to everything.
Sure.
One really cool thing is that you can open your product, whoever you may be working for, up to a brand new group of people. You know, that may not have been there to see wrestling, and they happen to walk upon it, and then all of a sudden maybe you hook a new fan.
Right.
Downside is, what you're usually working for is a bunch of people that are taking a break between, you know, balloon toss and, you know, I don't know.
The Ferris wheel.
Yeah, the Ferris yeah. wheel, and they just want to eat their hot dog in the shade for a minute and make fun of the fat guys in tights.
Right.
So it's really hard to work. So that wouldn't even be that bad. You just go out there and have a good time, but it seems like, man, not many promoters do it the right way, you know what I mean, and it should be a good easy time to get a nice payday for coming out there in the sweat and, you know, not in front of your traditional fans, maybe during the week, but
normally at 90 degrees,
yeah,
even if it's 70 outside, it's always like 20 degrees hotter on that mat.
It's either going to pour or you're going to melt. It's one of the two.
Right? Yeah. I mean, no happy medium.
I've done it all, man. I've wrestled out in the mud and in the rain and the blazing heat, but yeah. No regrets, and I don't mean to come off jaded, because I've had a blast at a lot of fair shows. As a matter of fact, one of my favorite matches I ever had with Dusty Dillinger was for War, Allen County Fair, a couple years ago. Well, I guess it's been a little more than a couple. Wow, they're flying by. Yeah, I did my first moonsault in that show. I've not done many of those, but so yeah, it's not all bad, but it could be better. Let's put it that way.
Gotcha.
Coming from the perfectionist, I guess.
All right, well, let's back up some. Let's go ahead and fill in some of the blanks. We've covered the injury.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's start way, way back, if you will, not to make you sound like an old man.
I am an old man, John.
But how'd you get started in professional wrestling?
Kind of by accident. I'd always been a fan like everybody else.
Sure.
But I sort of fell off, I think, like a lot of guys do, too, like in the mid-90s. That was my high school time. And for one, I think the business was bad
at that point. Yeah, it was down cycle to no end.
Bad, and then, you know, there was other interests, high school sports, girls, things like mm-hmm. that. And I had, you know, dreams and aspirations of playing basketball in college and trying to do that. That fell through, didn't work out for me. So after high school, I kind of went through a pretty dark period. Didn't really know where I was going, where I was going to end up. And the summer of 98, man, just like the wheels fell off. The girl that I thought I was going to marry at the time, she dumped me, cheated on me with my arch enemy. My best friend in the world at the time got busted in some trouble and got sent away to prison for 10 years. So here I am, like, my two closest people at the same time, you know. So that led me down a pretty, not to go into detail, but dark, lonely path. And one of those real dark days, I was sitting on the couch by myself, not sober, during the middle of a weekday. And yeah, just kind of flipping through the channels, like I think so many guys ended up in the IWA did. And saw the show, watched it, didn't really know what to make of it. I mean, I always thought wrestlers were just kind of dropped from the sky, like Thor or something. I didn't know, like, normal people could do it. And that's not to discount the guys I saw on TV, because believe me, they're still larger than life. But they were a little more realistic. Like, I was like, I could actually maybe do that, and then, you know, there's the free tryout thing.
Right.
So, apparently, in my inebriated state, I made a call, which I didn't remember. But a couple days later, I got a return message.
You know what? First of all, the smartass of me is going to say, what? You? Inebriated call? What? Get out of town.
Yeah, you've got so many of those jobs. I earned that one. Just like I earned, what was the song you played for me? Why is that escaping me right now? We're going to trail off, but John ribbed me one time, and he never did it again. That's all I'm going to say.
Because I learned my lesson. Let me just
we have trailed off completely.
Yeah.
I don't even remember what we're talking about.
Beds are burning.
That's it. Which absolutely love the song. But that, I think we were like just having to be talking about it that day or a road trip or two before.
We were going to MEWL and yeah. Alliance, and it was on the radio, and you and I just started singing it in that very obnoxious, "Why don't we dance while the world is fine?" And it was completely ridiculous.
I wish you guys could see his face right now. Please sing it. Yeah, but it was brutal because your timing couldn't have been better because there's so many things that are really hard about indie wrestling. One of them that is really tough is debuting in a brand new place as a babyface because you have to win them over. And the first thing these people hear is beds are burning and my skinny fat ass walking out there with Boaz and Jamie. How the hell did I think anyone was going to like me? Anyway, but you sealed the deal with the song. So.
Well, but if you remember, I tried to do it the show before at MEWL. Cause,
I don't. You didn't?
Yeah, no. Because I tried to do it at MEWL. No, wait, because I fessed up and I told you it.
That would have been hilarious. I probably just attacked you.
I was doing the commissioner. I was the commissioner of MEWL. And remember we had this ongoing thing, you, me, Tank, mm-hmm. Jamie, and...
That sounds kind of... No.
Anyways, not a sexual thing, but anywho...
I wasn't thinking that. What are you talking about?
So... I remember I slipped the DJ your music or that the CD of yeah. Beds Are Burning, and you had already given him the CDs. There were two Matt Mason CDs there.
I remember this. Goes, this. That's right.
And then while we're right before we got sent out, and I'm like, "Hey, I'm sorry. I was trying to play Beds Are Burning. I was gonna try to fuck with you guys." and you found it funny. So that's why I thought
you thought you got green. Well, see,
and that's what I did. I wasn't like, green mad. Lights, do it again.
Believe me, I definitely elevated my fake madness at you. I was just kind of perfect. More that you got me because if you would have done it at MEWL, like I could have just attacked. Like there was no rules there. I could have just attacked you, whatever, to pants you. It would have been fine. But you did it at this brand new place. Like I couldn't act like that mean prick. Like I really wanted to. I had to just smile. And, oh, it's okay. Oh, I wanted to kill you.
But
do you remember what we were talking about before this? Because I do not. I have no
well, idea. I was just saying right now, I learned my lesson because the mirror, because you took like 2.5 years to get me back. And it was the 2.5 years, every time I saw you, I was like, fuck, this is it. You're going to get me. And then I anticipated.
Hi, John. How you doing?
Yeah. Adam Michaels will confess that there were multiple times I'm like, hey, look. Matt owes me a receipt, so you keep your eyes on my stuff, okay? Because I don't want a dead fish in my bag, or my shoes to come up missing, or my pants to be cut in half. But it's
funny that we came. What we did come up with in an inebriated state was huge, very good, and pretty painless, which
right.
was shocking.
Except for it was embarrassing for me to have to return all those realtor signs.
Yeah, well, it was embarrassing for me to walk out to Beds Are Burning.
So
in my trunk, in my trunks. Did That's you have to? I should have made you do it in your tights. Now that would have been good. Hello, yeah, neighbor. Here's your sign back.
I blamed it all on those goddamn high school kids, quote unquote. Like when I call the one realtor, goes, "How did you get the sign?" I'm like, "I don't know. These goddamn high school kids. God damn it!"
You weren't far off, to be honest. You were not far off at all.
What were we talking? We were talking about your start in professional wrestling, inebriated state.
Oh, yeah. Getting to my tryout.
Your
yeah,
tryout,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, I got a call back, I believe from Bull, just saying that he got a message. I'm like, oh, my God, what message? So, I think for a few weeks before I actually either returned the call or I set my tryout up, I don't remember. But I know that I went to a few shows. I don't remember a ton about them, but I do remember a few things. One of them was this crazy barbed wire match. And forgive me if I'm off on this factually, but I remember that for sure... Marcus Dillon was involved. They were with, what were they called? It was him, DDK, and Trevor Lowe, and I absolutely loved them as a group. They were like the new cool guys.
That wasn't the Riot Newbury. Squad.
Newbury.
The Newbury. Newbury. Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah,
I was
yeah,
like,
yeah,
like
yeah.
instantly when those guys yeah. came out, I was right. like, wow, like I could have a beer with those dudes, and they seem so cool. You know what I mean? Like they were just new. They were kind of, I don't know if I want to say DX-y, but yeah. they were that type of group for the promotion. So they are out there, Suicide Solution, which is absolutely insane. They are like, they literally, to this day, scare me, actually. but really great guys. And I don't remember a whole lot, but I know that Marcus Dillon got fire thrown in his face. And I'm like, that just happened? I mean, where I was 10 feet away. I don't know if you were ever in that building. It was like the size of a basement.
Oh, the gym?
But it was upstairs.
Yes, I went to a show there once. And here, totally, this shows how naive I was. I didn't know that the group of guys in front of me that hassled everybody were Marcus Dillon's frat brothers.
Oh, yeah.
So I was like, wow, these guys are awesome. They're making so much fun of everybody. Yeah, all right. You know, and I'm by myself because none of my friends wanted to go. Because right. I tried to get them. They're like, no, we're not going. Yeah, exactly. Oh, no. No.
Yeah. Oh, man. But where were we?
So you got the tryout set up and everything.
No, I mean, that experience alone, that should have scared me away. But I think there's two kinds of fans. There's the fans that love it and know to watch it, and then there's the fans that are insane and they just have to be in it. I guess
we're the
two percenters, I guess, because that's all we really are, at least in my opinion, is we're just fans. The only difference is we're such crazy fans that, like, we, you know, wormed our way in and found out a way to do it.
Somehow.
Dude, I have not watched more wrestling in the last 4 years compared to what I've watched in the last 4 weeks. And I'm not watching it to like study tapes, to, you know, for a match coming up or getting ideas. I'm purely watching it as a fan. And I can't explain why. It's weird. It's like I'm really ready to be a fan again. And I think an agent role will be really cool for me someday because I'm looking at it through a fan's eyes now. Because I think when you look at it through a worker's eyes, you can just be completely jaded and you forget what you thought was cool when you were buying the ticket.
Right.
And guys start working for the boys. And I've been a complete victim of that myself. I mean, I think we all have. But
right, working. And that's one of the complaints that I think that a lot of wrestlers get is wrestling above the crowd's head.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. Wrestling for the boys.
Yeah, you'll get four or five dudes in the back like, oh, man, that spot was brilliant. But you got crickets.
Right.
And nobody cares if they see you again.
Right. Because the fan of Coshocton doesn't understand what they saw. They're like, why would you do that?
Oh, yeah. I can't tell you how many times I've seen, you know, a spot on, you know, Super Indie Promotion A or Super Indie Promotion B, and I went to try it, and people were like, what the hell is Mason doing? That didn't make... Did they just screw up? And like, we did it flawlessly, but like you said, it's over their head.
Right.
Yeah, you basically overworked. So,
how did the tryout go?
It went
good.
The
tryout, was it with Bull? Was he in the ring, or was it somebody else?
Yeah, I walked to the building. The first person I saw was Shank Dorsey.
Okay.
He's got... I mean, it looked like he had a basketball in his t-shirt. He's had the smallest legs on a man I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
Got, I don't remember the color, but it was like this raggedy-ass gym bag, cigarette hanging out of his mouth, and this, like, luscious, feathered look going on in the front. You know, like, you can tell when they've really picked the hair in the front. The 80s comb over.
Yes.
Like, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Oh, he looked glorious. I can't tell you enough. But so I'm like, okay, are you with the wrestling? He's like, yep. Follow me. So I just followed him on in. I mean, and it's so crazy to find out, like, this guy had been in the business for about a year, but it seemed like he was, like, grizzled old veteran guy. And I from that day on, I, like, just was under his wing.
And you know what, I'll tell you.
It was like I was supposed to meet him first. It was crazy, I don't know.
And from a fan's perspective, from me watching the IWA on Community 21 too, it was impressive to see Shank Dorsey wrestle.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're right, he does not look like he would be capable of going in that ring and putting on a really good match.
I thought he was there to clean the place up.
Yeah,
I mean,
but man, he could go.
He's probably laughing right now or really pissed off, but like, yeah, the flip side of this is the dude.
Yeah.
I still haven't seen anybody that can bump like him.
Right.
And that's, you know, right. Maybe that's why
it was deceiving. It was really deceiving.
Yeah, I mean, his spinning leg drop, and he did it like a cruiserweight. I mean, the guy's just, yeah, he's phenomenal. Yeah. He was made to be in the wrestling business.
Yeah.
And not just from a wrestling standpoint, he was just a really cool guy. He was so laid back, and he was so, like, he wasn't, he intimidated me on a certain level because I looked up to him, but, like, I was just instantly, I don't know, kind of like a
He was a paradox, because the character you saw, you were like, man, I don't want to mess with that dude.
Yeah,
but behind the scenes, when you got to know him.
Yeah, he was the opposite of that.
He was completely opposite.
Which makes his character even that cooler, because that's not him at all, but yeah. Right. So I followed him up, and I did my tryout with Bull, which went great. Bull looks like a professional wrestler. Like, mm-hmm. He looks like that, at that time especially, he was a little bit bigger. He looked like that carnival, like, strongman, had the big, long, you know, handlebar going on, the bald head, fanny pack, the whole nine. And he got in there, showed me, I don't know, hammerlock or two. I think he did drop the elbow like Jeremy had talked about. And, you know, I was hooked. Like, he did all that, and I wasn't hurt. It was crazy. So I wanted to learn out how to do that. So, yeah, signed my contract and everything. But the thing that I didn't realize is he wasn't actually going to be doing the training. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that at all. Let me just go on record and say that. But I do think one mistake is him not telling you that he wouldn't be doing the training. Because after that, I was trained mainly by Shank, which, you know, I got a lot of good training. I got trained from Shank on bumping and selling, and I got a lot of psychology help from James and Chip. Casting of a Click, one of the greatest tag teams ever, by the way. So, yeah, it worked out great. I just learned in out-of-order chunks, if you will, like okay. How Jeff will teach you how to correctly bump on day one. I don't know if I ever was, you know, shown step-by-step how to bump. I was just 140-pound 20-year-old who was a pretty decent athlete, and they were wanting me to do flips and tilt-a-whirls and things like that. So I was trained wrong in the sense of it wasn't in the right order.
A, B,
it wasn't,
C, D.
Yeah, but... You know, whatever. I got trained. It all ended up working out, and I went and got further training. And I think no matter who trains you, I don't care who trains you. It really doesn't matter. Killer Kowalski trains you. You're still going to need to go get further training from other people that specialize in other things to make you more rounded. So it doesn't matter.
It's like working different territories.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, you know, we've had this discussion with there have been some individuals that have stuck with OCW, and not that that's a bad thing, but I think if you really want to be a great indie wrestler, you have to work OCW. Mm-hmm. You have to go other places. You have to get out of your comfort zone to learn the business.
It was just the timing, and I don't know. You have to talk to some other guys when they come in,
sure.
Like my I guess sort of era class, but it was weird when I came in and like same time, Albie Dam, Shank Dorsey, Mark Stone, all these guys. When we all came in. Hustler Country. I can't drop all your names. Sorry. It was weird because as soon as it was like this wrestling boom, you know, and all these people were coming in, and at the same time, all these guys that were around for so long left. I mean, simultaneously. I mean, I'm trying to even sit here thinking like Roadblock,
Casey Stryker.
Yeah, there you go. Casey Stryker.
Don Yellowfish.
Yes. Help me out. Keep going. So we didn't have these mentors, even in the sense to watch them and learn what not to do because they're complete screw ups or whatever. You know what I mean? Like we didn't have any mentors. I mean, my mentors were barely in the business any longer than me. And they were more mentors in the sense of age. You know, like Shank was like 27 when I was 20 or whatever. So, yeah, we didn't have that. And I think that's why I've worked so hard now in the last probably 4 or 5 years to try to do that myself. Because I didn't have that. And I want these guys to have it. And it can't just come from your trainer. It can't just come from the guy that you pay. You know what I mean? You need
right.
You need mentored in all kinds of areas. And guys like, you know, Caden Asad, Mike Dodge, Juice Jennings, Joey Vengeance, these guys coming up, they like breathed new life into me. Like seeing these core of young guys come up that, you know, not only am I going to get a chance to help mold and get to work, just to see them develop has just been awesome. So if I could say there's one thing I really, really missed, and I think a lot of us did at that time breaking in, is we didn't have the older guys to show. Like, I didn't have anybody to teach me etiquette. I mean, there's no wonder, like, I was a complete dickhead when I was 21. And, you know, people were putting me in main events or this or that. No wonder I had my head blown up because I had no one to smack me down. Like, they're just what they weren't there. We walked in the door and became big dogs. You know, the business was hot. The town was hot at the time. We were just very lucky. It wasn't, I don't think it was so much that we were just so great. It was just the time.
The stars
just lined up. And the biggest downfall is we didn't have mentors. And that even includes, you know, the other promoters that came in. Bull's been around forever.
Right.
You know, some people call him a cockroach because he just won't die or whatever. But the guy, he's been around forever. Whether you like his product or not, he's been around. He's made a bunch of mistakes. He's done a lot of things right, a lot of things wrong. But the other guys that came into Columbus at that time, like Mark Stone, Roger, and Paul, they came in the same way we did as wrestlers. They had no mentors to tell them that's the right way to promote a show. That's the wrong way to treat a worker. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's just a bunch of blind leading the blind. And it's,
so, well, let's talk about the jump to FIW. Mm-hmm. So you were with the IWA for a number of years.
No, not actually, I wasn't. I was
really?
There. I don't even think that I was with the IWA for 2 years.
Really?
I don't, because I started training in 98, got hurt my third week. Thanks, Tank. I was out. Like, I was in and I was out, like, instantly. But anyway, so I came back, trained, and then my first show was actually the spring of 99, and I think we were in FIW by 2000, right? So, like, yeah, early 2000.
You guys were there when I got there. I got there in February of 2002.
Yeah, I definitely had no business jumping ship, air quote unquote, anywhere. I don't know who the hell I thought I was. I really don't.
Why did you go? Did you believe the hype?
No, it had nothing to do with hype. Let me just be clear, too. When I got into wrestling, it was literally just for a direction. Like, I had no direction at all in my life. Like,
sure.
Basketball is gone, my friend, all that stuff. I don't want to, you know, be a crybaby this whole thing, but wrestling just gave me basically something to do. It gave me a purpose. I was starting to get an identity. I had this whole new circle of friends, but I never in a million years thought that I would go anywhere with it, you know, professional-wise or like big company-wise at all. But then, you know, as about a year or so starts going by, I see these guys getting ECW tryouts and things like that. And I'm like, man, you know, these guys are telling me that I'm good. I can keep working towards that. So now that's becoming a far distant dream, I guess, in a way. And all the guys that were telling me that and all the guys that were, you know, helping me to get there were leaving. I mean, Bull at that point, I don't know if he knew my name or not, you know. I mean, I would, you know, I'd pay him when I could. I didn't pay him all the time like I should have. Where was I going? I lost my train of thought. But anyway, those guys were leaving, so I guess I was a sheep. I followed. And I don't regret that at
also,
all.
Also, it was like Shank, Dorsey, and Marcus Dillon and them were leaving. They were like, we're going with this new guy.
I didn't even know Marcus at that point.
Okay.
All I knew of Marcus is that he was the, you know, he was the best worker there from just about, you know, from a draw sense, at least, for sure. Like, he had all the tools and all that, but I didn't know him at all. He was actually kind of a real asshole to me. So it wouldn't have been, like, following him for a friendship, because that didn't even develop until we got to FIW. And had I not gone, I would never even have that now. I mean, that dude and I are, I don't know, as close as two guys can be. They live 1,000 miles away. So...
All right, so therefore, what was your time in FIW like? Like, did you enjoy it?
Oh yeah.
I mean, I know that was.
Oh yeah. There. I mean.
Again, you talk about the town was hot then. It was hot.
Man, I mean, again, there's goods and bads to everything. One thing that was really good and a detriment to, I think, to our development at that time was that it was a good thing in that Tom, or not, gosh, why did I call him Tom? So sorry about that. Mark Stone ran a lot of time. Like, most indie companies run, like, once a month.
Yes.
Okay? He was running every weekend. He'd run, like, Columbus, and then he'd run Crooksville, and then, like, back to Columbus, and then he'd have us booked down in, you know, somewhere else. But we were working mostly the same guys, keeping angles. So we were working a lot, but we were working, like, the same stuff. We weren't having the opportunity to branch out because we're loyal to this guy. So we didn't get that chance to, you know, go out to Pittsburgh and try to cut our teeth there. I mean, we did a little bit, but I mean, not on a consistent basis. Because, like I said, he had us booked all the time. He's 10 minutes away. You're not going to no-show him.
Right,
you know what I mean?
Right, yeah. Most definitely.
Plus, all your friends are there.
Right.
So it seemed like we were doing the right thing. And, you know, and he had told us he was in talks with Kevin Kelly at the time with WWE. And he was going to get us a look and... You know, maybe it was just hype, maybe it wasn't. I don't know. I have no idea. I don't know if Mark lied to us or if he didn't, but I know that we had a blast working our ass for it. Whether it happened or not, you know, not to be corny or cliche, it's not about the destination, it's about the journey. And I'll tell you what, I've had an awesome journey, and that's a big part of it, so.
Well, speaking of the journey, I know you talked several minutes ago about being trained. Mm-hmm. And going out and getting more training. You were lucky enough to go to Funk, Dory Funk, correct?
The yes.
Funk Conservatory. So I don't know why that left my mind for a minute. Oh. My brain fart, like, you have to go to, Dory Funk. Yeah.
Yeah, Marcus and I went down to Ocala, and man, what an experience. We learned so much. I mean, I don't want to bore you with that, but yeah, what a class. We met Chris Sabin in that class, and I'm pretty sure he signed and still in Tampa, but the Bambi Killer, can't think of his, trying to think of his real name. Anyway, look, Google that up, the kid's awesome, but he was in our class, you know, way back in 2000. Several other guys, Paul London was in the class the week before.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I mean, it was nuts. Like, we go down there, get off the plane in Orlando, they bus us up to Gainesville and tell us we're going to be on TV. for Nitro. It was
wow.
Yeah, insane. Like, great, great experience. Yeah. Got to
cool.
Actually, got
cool.
to get kicked by Ric Flair. That was my claim to fame for like 10 years. I got kicked by Ric Flair.
On Nitro?
Yeah. You can't,
security?
Can't see it. Like, there was no reason for him to kick me at all other than I hate you, kid. Whap.
but you were also on TV for Tough Enough.
Yes, for about 15 seconds.
That's right.
I got, yeah.
Was that season one or season two? I can't
remember. Season two, because it was Vegas. Matt was from Vegas. Columbus. Yeah, just Google it. That's what we say. Matt from Columbus. I'm such a D-bag. Yeah, I fell on, that was the first time I fell on my face and got back up and kept trying. Man, that.
How so? Were they brutal to you? Were they harsh?
I was brutal to myself because I wasn't ready. I wasn't, you know, everything that went wrong was my fault. I just was not
what
ready.
What did they tell you went wrong? Like,
well,
do you remember? Like what they said?
You get there. I lined up at 4:30 a.m. I was the second person in line. You should have seen the guy that was there before me. Wow. Anyway.
He probably got signed.
No.
Sorry to be that guy.
Well, the first thing you do, you stay in line for whatever. They get all your information. And then you go and you have an interview with like these producer types. Well, my interview is with these two young chicks. I was like, all right. It's right up my alley here. This is good, you know. So they come in and they're like, you know, what's your most embarrassing story? And I'm not going to go into that right now. But I tell this without blinking an eye, I tell this just horrendously embarrassing story. And they love it. Just the fact that I was so open about it. It's not cluing into me at the time. But what they're doing is seeing if you're going to be a good reality TV person. You know, they didn't ask me one question about wrestling. But I nailed it. Like, I knew I nailed that part of it. So then they gather us all in this big room. They're like, all right, you're going to do three things in the ring. One of them was push-ups. Maybe you had to clap or something. I don't know. The other one, they had these two heavy bags, and you had to hop over them, bunny hop over them, just see your athleticism. That's no big deal. I had that. Third thing was a nip-up. I've never been able to do a nip-up. I was never shown how. I don't know why. It's just always been an Achilles heel to me. But I tried it anyway. Land, sit on my ass, and I'm looking at Al Snow, Ivory, Jim Ross, all these people. They cut a big promo on me, and I tried to cut a promo back, and the Hardcore Holly cut a big promo on me. It was just very, very humbling experience. I could not get back to Ohio quicker. I'll tell you that much. I mean, because I was stuck in Vegas. I had no money. Like, how fun is that? You're in Vegas with no money. I had to just sit there for like 2 days to get the news that I already knew that I hadn't made the next cut or whatever.
Right.
Yeah. It was brutal, but, you know, I came back with a refocused, and it, just like every other thing that's bad that's happened to me, it's made me stronger. I'm wondering when I'm going to be strong enough.
Well, you know, let's talk about another couple of tryouts, too. Let's talk about Ring of Honor.
Oh, geez.
A couple of years ago.
This is going to turn out so tragic. This is like a play-by-play of what not to do if you want to make it.
Take notes, people. Take notes.
Yes. Well, what do you want to know? How bad that went? Or
sure,
or
go ahead. Went? Yeah. I mean, I trucked out the Dayton to see you.
Yeah. Yeah, you did. And
I
appreciate
did.
That.
No problem.
Yeah, I did a one of those weekend camp deals with WWE, and Jim Cornette was there, and I was very lucky. I was on. You know, I just did really well. Luckily, I had Joey Vengeance down there with me. He made me look like $100. No, he made me look like $1 million. He really did. And, yeah, so Jim worked out a tryout for me. And he really wanted me to get my promo over. He wanted me to actually get the talk, which is, like, unheard of for a dark match for Ring of Honor.
And that was against Mike Seidel, right?
Yeah, and, you know, bless his heart. It wasn't his fault. Again, it was my fault. I was not prepared to work heel against a smaller baby face. Like, I was more of the smaller guy getting thrown around myself. So it was just, I wasn't ready. I wasn't prepared. I showed up unprepared. And the match wasn't horrendous. Like, it was an okay match. Definitely wasn't like, you got to really blow their doors off to get a shot in Ring of Honor.
Right, yeah.
You know, and I'm in my 30s anyway.
Yeah.
So already I got a few strikes against me, but I definitely sealed my own coffin when I did the backpack stunner. Yeah. I don't even know why I did it. I really don't. I have no idea, but Eddie Edwards wasn't even there yet. Like, he had got a layover or something, but I come back, and the person who was pissed the most was Davey Richards. Like, Delirious really wasn't that mad. He's like, I'm not too mad. Might want to watch out for Davey. Like, I had pretty much pissed in his tag team partner's face, basically. And I can't tell you why I did it. I've never done that move before or since. I just saw Mike as a small guy. I knew I could carry. It'd be a big impact.
I've always been annoyed by that, because I'll tell a story, too, and I'm sure he'll be pissed. But, or maybe not. I don't care. I know Marcus Dillon told the story. We're doing a tryout.
Oh, yeah.
Edge coming up and giving him a bunch of harassment about doing the spear.
Yeah, how crazy that it happened. I should have learned from that mistake. Yeah, I turn around and do the exact same thing.
Exactly, like Marcus pointed out, you are the first match. And no one remembered, with all due respect, nobody remembered that.
No.
No one's going to go, hey, wait a minute, that guy in the red tights, the mouthy one, he just did that move that Eddie Edwards did. No. No one's going to remember that.
Yeah, Eddie was cool about it. I mean, he didn't mind. He just basically felt bad for me. He was kind of like, man, I'm sorry, dude, because you're probably not going to get another chance, which I didn't. But, you know, the reality is, honestly, I mean, as I sit here with this brace on my leg from, you know, a couple times a month on the indies, would I really have been able to sustain a Ring of Honor level? Probably not. Somebody's probably doing me a favor. And hey, I wrestled for Ring of Honor. It was awesome. You know, I can say that. Not many guys can say that. So no. I don't have any regrets on that at all. Well, maybe a few. I do regret doing the back, but I'd be lying if I said I didn't regret that. But it happened, and yeah. One more lesson for everyone out there. Don't do guys on the show's moves to the promotion that you're trying to get into.
Name association. You want to play it? You said you wanted to play it. Come on.
I didn't say I wanted to play it. I asked if you're going to do it. Are we running out of time? I've been blabbing like crazy.
No. Don't look at the time. No. Lean back.
It's gonna lean hurt back.
That's got to hurt your knee. Lean back. You don't worry about the time. I'm in charge. Don't worry about it.
You really sound like you're soliciting me right now. I'm just saying. You don't worry about the time, baby. Just lean back.
Sexual reference number two.
Is that it?
Wow. Yeah.
We got to pick up the pace here.
I know. A little bit.
Yeah, we can do names. That's okay. Fine.
Okay. Name association. Here we go. All right. Let's start off with Big Country.
Big Country. Man. Wow. When he first started out, he was very intimidating. Just from a wrestler sense. He was literally a big dude. Sorry, I'm rummaging my pockets there. Sexual reference number three. Yeah, he was loud and abrasive and just, oh my gosh. And he would tell you all this stuff too, you know, he's a wild partier. Yeah, I wouldn't say rub me the wrong way, but I kept him at arm's length, I guess. At first, I was just kind of scared of that dude. Him and Hustler both, to be honest with you. But that was like right, you know, at first. But then, you know, we worked together many times. Both of them became good friends. And I don't think that I was nearly as good of friends with either one of them at the time when we were working as we are now. They both live, like, right around the corner from me. I used to see Country at the gym all the time. I don't work out at that gym. But, yeah, Hustler's... My wife's watched Hustler's daughter before. I mean, we've gone to her plays. Like, we're good friends now, so... Yeah. I don't know if I really answered your question.
No, you did. All right, how about Sheikh Abdul Hassan?
Oh, my God, Sheikh. One of the first... I believe he was in the match, the first match I saw on TV. And I want to say it was against Casey Stryker.
Okay.
But I just remember him getting in the, like, high 8 camera face right at the very end. Yaramasaka-san! I'm just going crazy, like... I was like, he looks like a regular dude, but like, man, he looks like he's having fun. Like
the best story of Sheiky is when Mark Stone brought him into FIW. As I remember, he told the story one time. And I was sitting in the locker room about the Iraqi national anthem. Mm-hmm. You remember this story?
Yeah.
About how he would sing the Iraqi national anthem, and he's singing it. I forget where he said he was doing it, like Pennsylvania or somewhere.
All I know is he's Puerto Rican. So this
yeah, he's Puerto Rican, first of all, which is hilarious. Yeah, so he does the whole thing, and he goes, I don't know, I just make up words, right? He goes, it's just gibberish, right? And he goes, a guy stands up, and it's dead quiet, and goes, that is not Iraqi national anthem! I am Iraqi! That is not it!
Oh, that's funny.
And I was like, wow. Like, and I looked at him and go, how'd you handle that? He goes, I just looked at him and go, no, you're not Iraqi! And he goes, I just quit, just moved on. I'm like, that would work, I guess.
That dude can really work a crowd, man. Oh my gosh.
Almost definitely.
I lost contact with him for several years after, you know, I guess the Columbus wrestling collapse.
Sure.
If you want to call it that. But then when I got booked in Cleveland with JT, him and JT are brothers. I mean, they're mm-hmm. just absolutely as tight as can be. So I would get to see him on JT shows. And that was really cool, man, because I could always tie back to those early times in the IWA. And it was always a pleasure seeing Sheiky. Always.
How about, I'm going to go there.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to throw it out there. How about Paul and Roger? PWC. You never had no issues with them?
No, I mean...
I know I'm beating a dead horse.
No.
There's been several PVD casts where we've thrown them under the bus.
I really don't. I mean, I don't...
Okay.
I think that they're... business savvy and everything sort of
sucked.
Well, yeah, I mean, it speaks for itself. But they're not around. They're not around. I don't have to, like, I don't think I have to, you know, throw any more dirt on their cough or anything. I definitely think from a human, I didn't know them well. Right. I never got within, you know, into the booking side of stuff with them, so I didn't speak to them on a real personal level often, so I can't say a bad thing about them. I mean, I've heard a lot about it. Here's the thing, John. I treat people and judge people the way they treat me. I am friends with a lot of quote-unquote bad people in the majority's eyes, you know.
Okay.
I call them my band of misfit friends, I guess. But you know what? Every one of them has always had my back and treated me great. So, and I've made a ton of mistakes. Who am I to judge? I'd say this. As bad a job as that maybe they did or whatever, I can't say I would have done any better. I could never be a wrestling promoter. I think that's
absolute
insanity. Yeah, I don't know how they do it.
Wholeheartedly.
So every time I make a crack about could have been promoted better, but yeah, dude, I'm on my soapbox, armchair quarterbacking it, because I wouldn't even attempt it.
So, how about CK3?
Oh, man, brother... One of my best friends, one of the most underrated work, even though he's finally really getting recognized on a much larger scale, I still say he's one of the most underrated guys around. I mean, you can do an entire podcast on how I feel about CK3. That dude, he's awesome. There's nothing he's not good at. There's just not. The guy's great. Except growing hair. He may be bad at that.
Well, yeah.
But let's, you know, we're splitting hairs. Oh!
I see what you did there.
Yeah, you did.
Uh-huh.
That was terrible.
How about Madison Rain?
Madison, oh man, I have been through everything with that girl on an emotional level. I mean, in and out of the ring. Like, she started wrestling right at the same time Jamie was given a go. I mean, they trained together. They had their first match together. John asked this question, so don't get mad at me. She started dating Robbie Starr. I mean, I have been attached to Robbie since the moment he got in this business. Whether we've been feuding again, whatever. I've always been attached to that guy. So, yeah, just by that, four of us were great friends, and then things went bad, and, you know, there were hard feelings, and then, we've gone from, like, Jamie and I kind of, I don't know, sort of being big brother, big sister to them in the beginning. Things went really, really, really bad, and then we came all the way back, and we're good friends again, and I wish her nothing but the best, and I'm so happy for all her success. And Jamie actually, I mean, talk about full circle. Jamie did her first national show in Atlanta. She's a bodybuilding competitor, by the way. Sorry, not to trail off, but she did her first national show and did it, stayed down there with her, Madison Rain, Ashley, whatever, and her husband. So,
oh, that's cool.
Yeah, I mean, we were could have called us bitter enemies, you know, maybe a few years ago over stupid, childish stuff, but... Yeah, it feels really good to say that, you know, that wound has been mended and we're all good friends now. Wish nothing but the best for each other. They talk all the time.
How about Irish Airborne?
Wow, that's another good example. There was heat with us back then, but not like with Ashley. Like, we never really knew each other, really knew why. I don't even know if they didn't like me or not. I think maybe they just didn't like me because they didn't like Robbie. I have no idea, but that was really dumb. Same thing with Ashley. But yeah, we came through all that. I still don't even know what the heat was about, if there really even was any. But I can tell you this, those guys, I love it when I see them. They always have something, especially Dave, always has something interesting to say that I'm talking about 2 weeks later. And that's before they throw their boots on. And then when they do, they're, you know, I'm a mark for Irish Airborne. I'll be the first to admit that. And I always have been. Even when we maybe were on the best terms personally, I have never had a bad thing to say about them professionally. Because those guys are, I don't know, it'd be hard for me to name a better tag team right now that's not signed. So.
All right, how about let's go with Christian Vaughn.
Christian Vaughn, he had tons of talent, tons of passion coming in. I don't think he had quite the charisma or the confidence that he needed. But man, he did everything he could possibly do with what he had. I've never seen the dude not go 100%, and just a real genuinely great person.
Yeah.
He's a straight edge kid, and I remember him driving Ryan Midnight and I around just absolutely crushed out of our mind, being complete dicks. And he never judged us, you know. He never was like, I'm better than you because I don't drink. He's just a really good guy to be around. He's actually left the business recently himself, and man, I don't know. If you hear this, buddy, I miss you. I hope everything's going good in Florida.
All right, let's end this, all right, with stories between us.
Uh-oh.
Come on. We've known each other for a long time.
Okay.
Do you remember the first time we met?
Shit. No, it's got to be for FIW.
It was FIW. It was Crooksville.
Okay.
It was the first time that I met with Mark Stone in regards to other business, and he was like, "Well, we don't have a ring announcer because Brady West, something was up with him. Like, mm-hmm. I guess he was double booked as the ring announcer, and then he was also doing his own Brady West thing."
Okay.
I was like, "Well, I'd like to try out." And he's like, "All right, well, you come down to blah blah blah, right?" And this is actually embarrassing. Okay. But I have gigantic nipples. I have, like, Antonio Cesaro nipples. And you remember you made fun of me for it. I remember that. Do you remember that?
No.
Yeah, you did.
No, I don't.
Yes, you did.
But I believe it. And you know why? Because I was trying to probably be, knowing that I was going to be a guy with my shirt off, I was probably trying to deflect the fact that I, too, have gigantic pepperoni-esque nips.
Yeah, because you made fun.
Yeah.
And then I remember
not
the end
cool,
of the,
man. I
should have
been,
end,
like, supporting you.
I gave you props because I think at the end of the night you were like, "Hey, man, look, I know I give you a hard time, but if we don't give you a hard time, then you got to worry."
That's true.
Yeah, so I was like,
Jeremy can definitely attest to that.
That's true. All right. So that was story number one I was going to share. Story number two was from MEWL.
Okay. Is this where you went the wrong way on the exit? Threw it in fucking reverse on an exit ramp to the freeway. I mean, like, without flashing. I mean, oh my god. Yeah, that was terrifying. I'm glad Jamie was asleep.
Yeah, that was one of my more aggressive driving evenings where I went the wrong way on an exit. There was nobody coming. I'm like, fuck this. We're not driving all the way around. So I threw it in reverse and back out onto the freeway. But actually, it might have actually been the same night. Was that the night of the John Orlando, like, fiesta that they had? Remember when we threw the fiesta? Because
oh,
I was
Jesus.
Doing that shtick.
I kind of do. I think I've done my best to forget it.
Yeah, because it was pretty awful.
Yeah. Not as bad as the Montezuma's revenge match that you booked.
Well, okay, so the whole story behind this was I was having this party.
That's a real thing. That actually happened.
Oh, that is.
Go ahead.
That's for another podcast.
Yeah, JoJo's podcast.
So, the whole story was I was supposed to throw a party. That's what the promoter, Lotus Oaks, wanted. He wanted, you know, throw a party, blah, blah, blah. The A-list will come out, and they're going to attack you. So then, did you come up with the idea that I would be there in the ring, and you would come out and go, "I have a surprise for you. Close your eyes, sit down," and then you would have Jamie come out and give me a lap dance.
I'm such a pervert. No, I don't remember that.
You don't? What? No, come on.
I don't. I'm not trying to deny it. I'm saying it probably happened. I just don't remember. I don't remember suggesting it. If I did, I was like, God, I hope I was ready.
Because then you come out and beat me up and put me in the figure four. Because then I was on crutches for the rest of the show.
I do somewhat remember that.
Okay. Because the best story, this is the part of the story that I was going to tell. First words out of your mouth in the back after that segment. "Hey, Jamie, did he have an erection? A little bit of a chub? Anything?" I'd like you to know that I was a professional that night. There was no erection necessary.
You are killing me. I cannot believe you just told that story. Okay, what's the next one? Because I'm going to get you now.
Well, I mean, we already talked about the one in Athens where I played the music, so that one's already. Yeah. Other great shenanigans that we've had. I'm trying to think. There's been many.
Oh, you don't have them lined up? Okay.
You know.
It's your show. I'm going to have some fruit snacks here I stole from my kids.
What kind of fruit snacks?
Berry and cherries.
Berry and cherries.
Reference number 4. No, they really are. They're really good. They're fruity. Just like John. It's Come on, true. Man. No more name association?
Oh, we can go back to name association. Okay, let's go. Eric Smalls.
Oh, boy.
You're not doing the impression?
Hey. I don't give a shit what you guys do for me in the business. I'm going to be a fucking famous midget wrestler and screw all you guys. Seriously. I'm on TV. Fuck you, big people.
No, I'm just riddling. Eric's a good kid, man. Well, he was a good kid when we met him. He was like 14.
Yeah.
Of course, Brady West would be the person that randomly brings the midget kid to the show. But yeah, man, we liked him. We always get Marcus and I would always get in the ring and like do all these crazy like tornado DDT spots with him, just have fun. And yeah, man, I don't have a problem with Eric. I feel like I love the kid, I do, but I feel like he screwed over some of his friends a little bit.
Sure, yeah,
getting in the business, you know what I mean? He just sort of used us to get in the business, and then got I don't know. He's got kids to raise. He's making big paydays. Whatever. Who am I to judge? I wish things wouldn't have gone the way they did. They ended up that way. Whatever. Maybe some people will hold ill will towards him. I wish him nothing but the best. I mean, that doesn't mean that I agreed with some of the way he handled business, but again, it is what it is. I definitely haven't handled things perfectly myself. So again, who am I to judge?
Can I get another impression? Carlton Cass.
Oh, shit. I gotta finish my fruit snack.
Okay.
We'll come back.
This was another spot on impression. That was great.
Dude, I will tell you. I'll do it. Totally. I'm gonna do it. But for years, people have been wanting me to do that for him. And if you know him, Jobber's pretty hilarious.
Right.
He named himself Jobber. Like, he doesn't have an ego. Like, you're not going to hurt his feelings or anything.
Yeah.
But for some reason, I was always scared to do it. And it wasn't because I was scared to do it because I thought he was going to get pissed off, it would ruin our friendship, or he was going to beat me up or anything like that. I just didn't think he would think it was funny.
Really?
Dude, I could not have been more right. So I did it for him at the 10-year anniversary show, I believe. I may have done it another time before that. But yeah, he just stared at me with crickets, and it was the most uncomfortable. Because everybody, like, gathered around, like, oh, this is going to be great. Mason sounds just like him. Oh, it's going to be so funny. And he just stared at me, and it was kind of like everyone was like, ha 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 ha. Yep. It was that. Like, it was just like, all right. And I think everybody was in the ring to, like, take a big picture before the show or something. All right, well, let's take this picture. Yeah. Oh, my God. I just put more fruit snacks in them.
Oh, man. Cop out. Anyways.
Well, give me another one, and maybe I'll...
Okay.
I'll do my impression for my answer.
Okay. All right. I'm trying to think. Did you ever work with Lord Zoltan? Or no?
Zoltan's pretty cool, or whatever. I mean, every now and then, like, he tends to be, like, more of a spot monkey when he's working close to, you know, like, the Pittsburgh area or whatever. Because I think, like, he figures... Like, you know, I could have friends and family here, so let's, like, do maybe, like, a couple headlock takeovers tonight. But other than that, he's pretty easy to work with. I like him. He's cool or whatever. Who else?
Can I just have you come on and do Carlton Cass? We'll just do a podcast with Carlton Cass?
This is just my regular voice, dude. I don't know what... Whatever, Johnny. You've got really white legs. All right, I'm done. That's something he would say, though.
It is.
I love... Oh, well, my God.
I remember one of the greatest ribs he ever pulled on me. Northern Rittman, when he put my jacket on, where you know what? I think you were there.
I don't remember that, dude.
No, I don't think you were there. I think something was up with you. Either you were there or you worked the first match and was gone. Because he worked Jeff, and it was when he was the the television champion.
Okay.
And so Jeff comes out, because I announced him as the challenger, and Jeff goes, oh, you're going to love this. I'm like, oh, wait a minute. And I go, Carlton Cass. Here he comes out in my, like, because I had, like, this Adidas windbreaker. Mm-hmm. He just had it on, and he come out wearing it, which was hilarious. I give him props. It was really funny. It was good. And thankfully, he's not one of those guys that oils up, and so, therefore, my jacket wasn't ruined. My windbreaker wasn't ruined.
Yeah, if I wore it, it would have definitely been ruined. Not as bad as if Robbie would wear it, though.
Yeah.
He is the oiliest man alive.
Is he?
Yes.
Why is that?
I don't know. I mean... Some people say, like, tan fat equals muscle. I don't know if he thinks, like, greasy fat equals muscle. I don't know. The dude just wears a lot of baby oil. But I love him to death.
Okay.
Even though I've slipped off the ropes 4 times because of his oil. No, that's a lie. I made that up. I'm just kidding. Robbie Starr's oily. Hashtag. Robbie Starr's oily. That's all I'm going to say about Robbie Starr. The man I've been associated with 8 years of my time in wrestling. That's it.
Oily.
All I'm saying about you, Robbie.
He's oily.
No, Robbie's awesome, but yeah, he's oily.
Is he?
Yeah. So if you're working Robbie out there, bring an extra towel.
That's
all I'm saying.
That was reference number 4.
Seriously, I don't know why you gotta rib Robbie all the time. The dude's paid his dues or whatever. Just lay off. Jobber's gonna kill me.
That's alright. All right, well, it's getting to be about an hour, so we're going to start wrapping this up. And I know before we start recording this, I gave you a small little hint.
Oh, shit.
About a story, Orlando's faves, and it's coming.
Oh, boy.
But before we do that, let's plug the big show.
I haven't cried at all yet, so that's good. You don't have your award-winning interview.
I don't, because I couldn't think of anything to make you cry. I really couldn't.
Because I'm a man.
So, anywho.
Okay,
so this Saturday, June 1st, Newark, Ohio.
Yes.
National Guard Armory, ladies and gentlemen, OCW presents End of an Era. 7:30 is the bell time. Doors open at 7 at the National Guard Armory. We got Big Guns Jeff Cannon putting the title on the line against Robbie Starr. You're going to be there.
I will be there.
You'll say some words. Maybe you'll cry then. Maybe.
Yeah, I would say it's a safe bet. I'm going to do my best not to.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
I'm ready, man.
You ready?
Well, I'm a lot more ready than I was when I said goodbye to the people at war. That was like 2 weeks out. That was tough. I think this time we'll go a little more smooth. I'm a little more prepared. Gotcha. I kind of feel bad that I wasn't as smooth as I wanted it to be in Lima for those people. Man, I wish I could go back.
How was the reaction for that? How was Chocolate Thunder? Did he cry?
He was not there.
What?
I know. You believe that? I forget what his deal was. He had car trouble or something that I hear.
Man, Chocolate Thunder wasn't there. Isn't that crazy? Chocolate Thunder.
Well, isn't that crazy? Like, we know exactly who we're talking about. Like, Lima, man, I have a bond with those people up there. Because one difference between OCW and them is that, like, OCW I've seen probably two or three, as I've been there so long, of waves of fans.
Right.
Mostly kids. They'll grow up. They grow out of it for a while, and then a new wave comes in. And that's fun, because then you're brand new to these people. But Lima, I swear to you, I've seen the same 600, 700, 800 people for 10 years.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they've literally watched me grow up. So, yeah.
Man, I can't believe Chocolate Thunder wasn't there.
I know.
Man.
I know. I'm pretty shocked, too.
I bet he would have jumped up out of his seat. No, Matt! No!
No, baby. I don't know. Maybe he would have. I just wasn't ready. I was not prepared. All the advice that I got from people was like, just speak from your heart, you know? Man. By the time my heart got warmed up and I kind of was collecting my thoughts and, like, exactly knew what I was going to say, the boys come running out. And, like, I, you know, didn't get to finish what I was going to say. The boys made me real emotional. And, yeah, but this time I think I'm a little more ready. Gosh, I hope I didn't set myself up for a big fall on my face. Literally, I hope I don't fall on my face. I don't know how I'm going to get in the ring on crutches. I really don't. I'll figure it out.
We can just interview you at the table. We'll make that happen somehow. Do you want to get in the ring?
I don't know. Kind of shouldn't I? I guess. We'll figure it out. We'll figure it out.
That's all right. We got time. That's Saturday, June 1st, National Guard Armory, Newark, Ohio, OCW. You can check out www.ocwrestling.net.
Who's Jeremy wrestling that night?
At this time, I do not know.
Isn't it? Wait.
I do not know.
I feel like it's a tag match.
I think it might be.
I don't know. I'd say this. I'm going to request, and I'm going to mark out right now for myself, and I don't care. I want to see who can have, like, the coolest Matt Mason tribute spot, even if it's making fun of me. Like, so I want to see a super kick.
You want the backpack stunner?
No. I retired that night from my repertoire. No, but that would be cool. Actually, Dusty was the only one that did it in war, and I didn't even think about it, actually. So it's not like I felt like I was slighted there or whatever. But yeah, he did the bareback or something, but it was really cool. But I liked that. That was that, neat. It'd be cool, like, if I saw that, like, you know. I'm not going to name names. I just want you guys to come up with it on your own. Or don't. Either way, I'm going to have a blast watching the show.
Are you going to watch it at the table, ringside, with me? Me? Will you be there with me?
I don't know. I'll just go with the flow, man. I'll probably come out there when I get the itch to get close, and then hang out with the boys. I don't know who's going to come. Like, I keep hearing guys are coming from kind of far away. Buddies.
Really?
Well, I better not say, because then if they can't come, they'll look like dicks if they don't show up. But, guys from, you know, out of state have even...
Really?
That know that I'm not actually wrestling. They know I'm just saying goodbye. Yeah, it's been very overwhelming. I think...
Man, if I know that, we'll do This Is Your Life. Matt Mason, This Is Your Life.
No, not to... I know we're running over here.
Oh, I don't care. It's my podcast.
It's very true. I will say this, like... I mentioned earlier that I never got into the business to make it, initially, at least. And then, you know, as I progressed and I saw it as a, not as a reality, but at least as a possibility that maybe I could try, whatever, I got a lot more serious and put a lot more into it. But I think at the end of the day, like, the main thing that I wanted to get out of this was finding that I finally found something that I was good enough at to really be passionate enough about to go for. And the main thing that I wanted to get out of that was just the respect of my peers. Because I just love this art. I don't even think it's a business. I don't think it's a sport, entertainment. It's an art form to me. And I know that I've been told over the years so many times, but I just, it's like I never registered people telling me these things, you know, that, you know, maybe I inspired them or they think I'm this. I always seem to show up on these little lists, you know, top this, top
what?
That. Yeah.
On the internet?
Yeah.
You don't say.
And I just never, and again, I know I'm coming off as this, like, oh, Matt just wants to sound humble. And man, it's really not an act. Like, I never took that stuff in. I just didn't believe it.
Yeah, sure.
But now that I know that I'm leaving, it's like I'm finally able to accept it now. I think if I would have accepted it before, I felt like it was going to hinder me. Like, I would believe in my own bullshit hype, and I wouldn't work hard enough, or who knows the psychology behind it, but it's like, now I don't have to do that anymore, so I'm allowing it to kind of sink in, and it just blows me away. Some of the stuff, the messages that I've got, and I did it. To me, I made it, because I've gotten that validation, I've gotten that respect from guys. And it's just been amazing. Now I'm starting to get all teary. No, I'm not. John can attest. I have no tears in my eyes. But
no,
yeah,
tears.
Yeah, no, man. But it's been awesome.
All right.
Probably gonna cry on Saturday.
All right, we're gonna end this with Orlando's fave.
Okay. Sorry. All right,
there's one thing now, and I kind of set you up for this already.
Okay.
Recently, like last year, I decided to join a gym. Because I felt that I needed to get in a little bit better shape. More so cardio than lifting. I'm never going to be big like you.
Oh, God. I'm shrinking by the day. You guys will see Saturday. I look like a cross-country runner.
So, okay. I took some time off. Because that's what makes my gym awesome. Is they'll let you freeze your account for a few months. And I did that for track season. Because I'm like, I'm never going to be here.
Yeah.
So I just went back. And I got to give props to Fitness 19 in Westerville. Great, great facility. Great facility. Customer service is great. I had a small problem with my account. They fixed it, no problem. Let me freeze my account for 3 months. It's pretty close. I can run down there. Nice facility. I was actually going to mention about how I give nicknames to people down at the gym. Because I don't really socialize at the gym, right? I don't know if you do. Maybe a hello, hey, how's it going? But you don't stand around BS, right?
Yeah, I get it. I understand.
Does that annoy you, by the way?
Yeah, it
is. When you see people like that?
Yeah, it happens all the time because I work out with Jamie, so...
Yeah.
People gotta stop. Who do you get your arms on, man?
Yeah, exactly.
As, while they stare at her chest. Anyway, go ahead.
Well, so see, I have a couple people that I give nicknames to. One of which is a young lady has orange Nike shoes that does nothing. She just shows up to hang out. So I call her, "Aren't you glad I stopped by?"
That's all good, right. I like that.
There's that one. There's Big Boobs, who is a young lady that you may actually know her because I think she does fitness competitions.
She has big boobs, you assume I know her.
No, because oh, I assume nice. That your wife and you run in similar circles, maybe.
Yeah, we do.
But she's very petite, gigantic boobs. They never move when she runs on the treadmill. So there you go.
God love her.
Yeah. So my new one, though.
Well, wait. Oh, you call her Big Boobs.
Big Boobs. Okay, that's Big Boobs. Right, yeah. There's that.
Really crappy nickname. You need to come up with something.
Okay, like, I got to come up with something better. Like, how about Imagine Nothing?
Majestic Mammaries or something.
Okay. How about Imagine Nothing? The girl that wears shorts that are so tight, it leaves nothing to the imagination. Like, we're not even talking camel toe. We're talking, like, you can see her uterus.
You're disgusting. How am I going to... Now, I wanted my mom to listen to this. How is she going to listen to this now? Thanks, John. This will not be released for another 2 weeks due to all of the effing editing that has to go into
but
this show.
But your dad will be listening to it.
Yeah, my dad doesn't have a computer. I love you, Dad.
What? The Silver Fox does not have
a
computer?
No, he does not. Silver Fox will be here in 2 months. Okay. 3 months. Can't wait for that.
Anyways.
Anyway, man.
The new one is Davey Richards. There's a guy that looks exactly like Davey Richards, I swear to God.
So he actually looks like Dynamite Kid.
Yes. And the mere fact that it's weird that he works out with two Japanese dudes is even more weird.
Wow.
Seriously, he looks like him. It's obviously not him because his tattoos are different. And he wears a Cleveland Cavs hat. But...
So what do you call him?
I call him David Richards too.
Gaijin.
Yeah, and he has two Japanese dudes that work out with him.
That's funny.
But here's the icing on the cake.
I better not go there because he hates me.
There's that motherfucker,
that son of a bitch.
Stole Eddie's move.
Fucking Mark.
Anywho, but here's the icing on the cake for this story for Orlando's Faves. I'm there. I decided I'll lift a little bit here and there. All of a sudden, as I'm lifting, doing a pull down, all of a sudden, there's this figure next to me. I can see out of my peripheral vision. I'll be damned if it's not Cruz Sangria.
I thought you were going to say, I'll be damned if it's not I'll be damned.
No.
Damn.
It's Cruz Sangria.
Dude, I've seen that guy randomly in the same way, and I can't, like.
Really?
Yeah, like, probably over the last 8 years, I've seen him, like, two or three times, like, in the crowd at the Arnold, or, like, passing by on the way to the bathroom at a bar, or something, like.
Really?
Yeah, I've seen him around, just pop up.
Okay. But that was just kind of out of nowhere.
That's your fave? That's
the gym. The gym. Fitness 19. That's my. I'm sorry, dude. It was a rough week. It was either that or Gatsby.
That was bad, guys, wasn't it?
It was.
John needs. Are any ladies out there listening? John is a hell of a catch.
No, wait a minute.
I'm just saying. What? Are you not a single man? Are you spoken for?
You haven't talked to JMX, have you?
No. Well, not about your love life. What are you getting out of your pocket right now? Do you have a picture of your girlfriend in your wallet?
No.
Do people do that still? That's funny. Alright. Anyway. You're like, here she is. This is Amy. Alright, I'm an idiot. All of this comedy is visual, by the way.
Which no one can see.
Nah.
But that's okay.
Nah, they can't see it.
Yeah, I don't know if you
would. But you don't need to be visual to see this, baby. I'm the jobber coming at you. I don't know why I can't stop doing it.
I encourage you, though.
I should do it in bed the next time with Jamie. Which will probably be months from now. It's so sad.
Yeah, I imagine that is cutting
into tonight. Aw, oh, brother. We are creating. Now we're trailing off. Now my mom really can't listen to this. Jamie's awesome. I could have a whole podcast about that chick.
And you could come back and do that.
Dude, I know. We got to wrap this up. And I would like to do one because I got to say, I'm going to shut up right after this. But man, this hour flew by.
It did. I looked at the clock and I'm like, holy cow, I promised you'd be home like 45 minutes ago.
Yeah, if you're listening, I'm sure it didn't. You've probably listened to this in chunks, if we're lucky, if they didn't come back at all. But I gotta say, I didn't get to mention a lot of people, and I'm definitely not going to do that right now to take up any time. But I just want to say, if I know you from wrestling in any capacity, whether it's been a good experience, bad experience, to me, they've all been great, and just thanks for being in my life. Whether you're a fan, whether you've worked security and kept some crazy rednecks from killing me on nights that I've probably deserved it, if you're working concession because your husband was out there wrestling and you gave me the last slice of pizza, I mean, you know, the guys that put the rings up and tear them down when I probably should have been helping, but I snuck out, you know. Guys that I've worked with, I mean, I could go on and on, just all of you, thank you, because you have made me what I've been for the last 15 years and have shaped who I'm going to be for the rest of my life. So thank you so much. I can't thank you enough, and I wish I could name one by one, but obviously you guys see that I'm very talky. I know I'm going to forget people Saturday. I'm going to get there early and do everything I can. If you're coming Saturday, man, that would be cool, because I'd really, really, really like to take a minute or two just to pull guys aside one-on-one, because I know when I get out there, I'm probably going to be blubbering like a little bitch, and I'll forget stuff. But yeah, I have a lot of things, a lot of thank yous. I owe a lot of people. I really, really do. I don't know even where to begin, but I'll just do this. I'll shut the F up. Take me home, dude!
All right, well, with that being said, here's how you can get in touch with me. You can get in touch with me. Shoot me an email if you like.
What does PVD stand for?
It's the airport code for Providence.
I wish you guys could see. You gotta start doing this like on Skype or something.
What?
Because John just leans up, puts his elbow on his knee, and starts stroking his beard, going, "It's the airport code for Providence." I mean, oh, this guy's arrogant. He's sitting in a lawn chair, by the way. Totally blew your cover there.
That's all right.
And he's got my feet propped up. Aww.
Hey, I try to take good care of my guests.
You did.
So,
you know. All right, let's get out.
Anyways,
of here.
Okay, you can get in touch with me. pvdcast@mail.com, that's the email. You can hit me up on Twitter @pvdmvp. Where can we get a hold of you in the social media world?
Twitter, HC_Mason. Is that right?
Yeah.
I think HC Mason on Instagram. I got a bunch of pictures you probably wouldn't care about, except for the ones of my wife. Those are hot. Facebook. Shoot name is Matt Appleman. So find me on there and say hello. I think that's about it.
All right. Well, with that, Matt, thanks for coming on. You can come back anytime, by the way, because it has been fun.
Well, let's see how this gets over. I don't know. Maybe I'll come back next time when it's a little less nuclear hot in this house.
I'm sorry, dude. It is what it is.
When I can sit upright, when I'm not, don't have to hold a fart for over that, listen, for over an hour, which I've been doing. You're welcome. And when I'm a little less pilled up. So, yeah. No, I'm just kidding. I'm mostly sober. All right, later.
All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. And I'll talk to each and every one of you later. Thanks for listening.